Good evening. Just all have a nice dark thought. But I have a little bit to bring to us tonight, a little bit of God's Word. I want to turn to St. Luke, the second chapter. Says, starting at the first verse, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." It says, no room for them in the inn. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, that situation, what that means. Some years ago, I was going somewhere, my wife and I, and we were tired, it was night, and we thought, well, we want to stop and get a motel. And so we saw a place that said vacancy. And that meant, I suppose, that there was a place for someone to stay there. So we went up there to the window, and they let us know that they didn't have any vacancies, but that they just hadn't changed the sign yet. So made us feel kind of funny, because we looked around the place and didn't see a lot of cars. And then I thought, well, you know, maybe we could just park out here and watch and see what happens. But we were tired, so I think we went on and found another place and found a place to stay. But it did make us feel funny. It made us think. And so we think of this Joseph with his wife and she being expectant with child at this time. And we think of them going into what was a really crowded, bustling city. Suppose there was, maybe they got in there at evening time or whatever, and so they were going from place to place looking, I suppose, for a room to stay. It says no room in the inn. I don't know if that was the only inn in the place, but in the little city. But he went there, and I can just picture him going from place to place to place, trying to find a place that would be suitable for them to stop at, for them to have their child. And in the end, there was no place. So I believe that at that point, he went and found a place to stop. This was the place. This was their destination. They were not going to go on any further, but they needed a place to stop for tonight. So they went on and found a place. And in this place, there were animals and whatnot around there, and so there was a little, maybe there was a stall and a place there where people fed the animals, put the hay in there and let the animals come and eat. But they took that place for their little baby crib, and so they laid about there, made their bed there that night, and that was the place for the little child to be born. And I suppose that Mary maybe took some of her own clothes off, something of her wrappings off, and wrapped a little baby in it and put him there. It wasn't a very convenient place. It wasn't a place that you would think, one that was special to the coming to the world, a special messenger to the world. It wasn't the type of place that you would expect someone like that to come. But that's where they were. Everywhere he went, I just imagine, in trying to find a proper place, it was a sign out there, or someone said, "We're full. We don't have any vacancy." And then finally someone said, "Well, you know what, I'll tell you what, others have beat you to all the good places to stay, but you can go out back there and find a place for yourself and your wife, and just move some of the animals away and make them get away from there, and you can have that place for tonight." So that's what they did. But the thought is, everywhere he went, we just imagined, pretty much there was a sign that we're full and we don't have a welcome sign out. We don't have a place for you. It seems like even though maybe they didn't realize it, that the people they were looking at there, they didn't realize how important these people were. Joseph was a humble man. His wife was a humble person. They were both in contact with God. But there was nothing about them that gave people an inkling of how important they were. And so even though they should have been treated as honored guests, yet they were not. You couldn't perceive it. And people were not expecting this Jesus, this Christ, the Messiah, to come in this manner. And so he was not an expected person at that time. Wasn't expected in this manner. No doubt they were thinking maybe he would be born to some royalty and some palace or something, but that wasn't the way he was going to come. So for Christ to be born, he was born in the, you might say, the next best place. It wasn't the place of preference, but it was a leftover place. A place that no one else wanted. It was outside. You know, today we would be insulted to think we would have to, someone wouldn't welcome us or give us a place to stay indoors, and we were going to have to go outside amongst the, you know, in a barn out there and have our child, our first child. Many of us would kind of get insulted, wouldn't we? We would think we'd have a chip on our shoulder, sort of, maybe. Yeah. And maybe we would tell our little child about that. And he would grow up with a little chip on his shoulder. He would already know that, you know, when you were born, this thing happened.
Yeah.
And see, these people didn't care for us. And so you ought to feel like we feel toward all these people. But we just believe that Mary and Joseph were able to lay all those things aside.
Yes.
And get on with what was before them.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, people today, we can just imagine that Jesus Christ is going around in the world today looking for a place to land.
Yeah.
Looking for a place to stay, a suitable place. So we can just see, you know, like I believe over in Revelation it said, he stands at the door and knocks.
Yeah.
So that's the door of our heart. And so we get a picture of Jesus Christ today going from place to place to place, knocking on people's heart's door, trying to get their attention. And one after another. You know, no doubt he goes to those that you might say he would prefer, those that he would think that, well, surely these could help out in my kingdom. They could do great work for me. And so he knocks on their door first, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe he knocks on their door multiple times. But everywhere he goes, he gets the same answer. Later. I'm busy. Not just yet. You're not welcome here. I'm full. I don't have time. And he just goes. What do you mean you're busy? And he goes to the next one. And to the next one. You know, you would think that he would feel kind of bad after a while. That everywhere he goes, somebody is too busy. Someone doesn't have enough time. If I take up with you, that's just too low a place for me to take. I can't take up with you. Why don't you pass on, and maybe I'll find, since you're talking to me in my heart, I'll find some people to join up with that I can adopt their religion or their spiritual mode of operating, and I can go along with them, and they're more to my liking, more to my what I feel that I should be associated with. And so he goes on from heart to heart to heart to heart, never stopping. And some of us pray for our unsaved loved ones. Lord, get a hold of them. Lord, talk to them. Lord, I know that you know their language. I know that you can get their attention. Lord, be merciful. Talk to them. And all the time they're saying, one of these days, or I'm thinking about it. And the Lord is going, got a little time for me? Let me sit down. Let us talk together. But no, they have a no vacancy sign out. And he's going from place to place to place, seeking an interest. You know, the Lord is not like the enemy of our soul. He doesn't barge in.
No.
He goes and gently knocks.
Yeah.
When you knock at the door at your house, someone knocks at the door, do you know in a certain way that puts pressure on you to go open the door? There's a certain amount of pressure there. And if they want to come in, you're already, if you say, oh, that's Aunt Maud, I don't want to see her today, let me think of something so I can not let her in my house. Because if I let her in here, she's just going to go, woo, talk, take up my time. And talking about nothing. So you can come up with something to say to Aunt Maud, that she won't come into your house. No one has Aunt Maud here, I trust. But can you imagine Jesus going from heart to heart to heart tonight, and that's what he's hearing? I don't have time. I'm busy. Later, you're not the type of person I want to take up with right now. Everywhere he's going. And here we are talking about, Lord, do that. Lord, talk to him. Lord, and that's what's happening. No, I ain't interested. I would imagine he's greatly affected.
Yeah. Amen.
When someone knocks at the door, it means that we have to voluntarily open the door to let them in. We have to respect them enough, care for their feelings enough to let them in. There are some people that would open the door and maybe listen to you a little while. Once upon a time, I tried selling some stuff and wasn't very successful. You know what? I couldn't take that slamming the door in my face. You'd open up, you'd knock on the door. They'd open the door, and they'd let you start your little pitch, and then you were getting pretty much to it. I don't want nothing, boy. Bam! Oh, Lord. What is God having to endure tonight? What is he having to endure tonight? You know, we need to be willing to let God come into our life. When he knocks at the door, open the door, and be ready to listen to Him. Let Him fully express what He wants to say. Let Him really get down and talk to you in your heart.
Yeah.
A heart-to-heart talk.
Yeah.
Open up. You know, some people have that vacancy sign out, and people come up there and knock on the door and think that they're going to get a place to stay or come in. You can imagine the Lord doing that. In other words, I'm open to hear, to entertain people with all kinds of ideas, but when you show up, I can't give you 10 minutes. That's what people are doing to God. They have the vacancy sign open out there, and the Lord comes to make His pitch. But when they find out that it's God, I'm not open to that. May the Lord bless. Take today, take the no vacancy sign down. Let the Lord know that you have a vacancy.
Yes.
That you have a place for Him. A place that rightly, in all due respect, belongs to Him.
Yes.
Let it not be crowded out by other things.
Yes.
That's what Joseph was faced with there. He was looking for a place for him, his wife, and for the little new boy to be born. And everywhere he went, it was no vacancy. We are full. We got everything that we need right here. We can't take any more people. We don't have room even for you. And so, go on. You can go out there, go somewhere else. Don't let the lust of other things entering into your life choke out the Word of God. Choke out. Take out all the time that rightly belongs to God. All kinds of things that enter into people's lives. Things that, I say, there are some things that enter into people, they have no profit, they're vain, nothing but show, nothing but dealing with some things that don't deal with anything but just the very, very small things. Things that don't matter. And they're filled up with all these things. Don't let things enter in and choke God out, push Him out altogether out of your life. Think that Jesus Christ, you know, He should have been an honored guest. He should have been one that they were ready to receive. Look over here in St. Luke, the 19th chapter, and the 2nd verse. This is Zacchaeus. I'll start at the first verse. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus. Now see, this is a reverse. This man was seeking to see Jesus. It wasn't just that Jesus was knocking on his heart's door, but he was actually seeking to see Jesus. Who he was, but he could not for the press because he was little of stature. He was a short man. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for I must abide at thy house now. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, listen, this man was looking for Christ.
Yes.
Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold.
Yes.
And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. Forasmuch as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Yeah.
Zacchaeus was looking for God.
Yeah.
He found him.
Yeah.
Now, when Jesus hooked up with Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus was ready for the whole program. Sometimes people today, after the Lord has sought them out, seem like they're not ready for the program at all. They don't want half of it. But they ought to be, we ought to be, ready for anything that God has for us. Opening our minds, being objective, being willing to take whatever God has for us. He has been knocking at our heart's door, and we should be just like Zacchaeus, expecting to see him, getting in a place where we can see him, and then joyfully receiving him. When Jesus Christ said, Zacchaeus, I want to go and abide in your house today, Zacchaeus, I believe, was ready. We ought to be like Zacchaeus. That when he comes to us, we're ready. We're saying, come on, Lord, I'm ready. Now, Zacchaeus here was ready to see God, but not only that, he was ready to make some life-saving changes.
Yes, thank the Lord.
He was willing to make a change in his life. Yes. This is more than talk now. See? We need to be ready to receive God, open up, let him talk to us, and then be willing to make whatever changes he wants to make in our life.
Yeah. Lord bless.
Don't hold anything back.
Amen.
Don't set any limits.
Oh, Lord.
Get yourself in a place where you're willing to let the Lord change your life around about. Change your desires. Change your lifestyle. Let him interfere with everything. Let him get into your plans.
Yeah.
Everything you're wanting to do, everything you're trying to do, let God get in there. This is his rightful place in our lives.
Amen.
This is where he belongs. You know, sometimes people are trying to be Christians today, but they're trying to keep from showing any effects of it. You know, I'm a Christian, but, you know, you can't tell it. But no, if you're really a Christian, it's something that people can tell.
Yeah.
And let it be that way. Let him get in and make whatever changes he wants to make in our lives. Don't let it be that I got that not welcome sign out, no vacancy and all of that, where other things have entered in, got in there first, so much so that I don't have any place for him. May the Lord bless us.